It's time for a wild conversation with the Greater Vancouver Zoo. Here's Jess.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of A Wild Conversation with myself, Jess, and zoologist Manita Prasad from the Greater Vancouver Zoo. Hope you had a good week.
I had a fantastic week. Busy, but fantastic.
Busy's good, though. Busy's good. And I imagine at the zoo, you guys are always busy.
Yes. Yeah, there's always something going on behind the scenes. So it was quite a busy week for us this week.
So this week, we're going to talk about you. I have so many questions. There are many different career paths in a zoo. How did you get to where you are?
Yeah, so, I mean, it really took a lot of work, and I really feel like I've been lucky in my career and just have been in the right place at the right time. So everything just really kind of flowed with me. So I think for young individuals, or not necessarily young individuals, but anyone who wants to work in the zoo community, you really have to think about what department you want to work with, because there are several different areas that you can work with a zoo. So each with their own educational and experience requirements. So whether you want to be in customer service. So for us, customer service involves our admissions, who really are our frontline staff. They run the gift shop as well as our guest services. So they really are your first impression of the zoo.
So kind of like, yeah, like customer service, you know.
Yeah.
So what about some of the different jobs around the zoo? Like, what are some different careers that people have at the zoo?
So we do have a marketing department. So if you're particularly good in IT or like audiovisual and all the social media stuff, you might want to consider marketing. They really are the ones who promote the zoo, drive all of the sales, and, you know, help us boost our visitor attendance. But it does involve a lot of research as well, because they do analyze a lot of the data that we collect and use that to help cater to a better customer experience.
Now, are you guys constantly paying attention to what other zoos, even around the world, are doing?
Of course. The zoo community is an incredibly diverse community, and we're all interconnected. So we are always doing our research, keeping up to date on what's going on in the zoo community. So we're constantly looking at what other zoos are doing and, you know, looking at their conservation efforts and the different species that they are working with, because it helps us learn as well.
Now, what about the career path of a zoologist? Do you have to go to school for that?
You do. So working in the animal care department, there are a couple of different positions, but most people start as a zookeeper. So to be a zookeeper, you do need a bachelor's degree. Most people have bachelor's degree in the sciences, but a related field is also welcome. But animal experience is really important, and it can just be volunteer experience, and even volunteering at a zoo or a local animal shelter.
Now, do zoologists or zookeepers get to choose what specific animal they work with?
There are people who specialize in certain areas, but then you're looking at going beyond the bachelor's degree, so usually a master's. So there are people like Jane Goodall, who specifically are primatologists, so they just want to work with primates. There are marine mammal trainers who just specifically want to work with marine mammals. I myself started off as a herpetologist, so working with reptiles and amphibians.
And you still love reptiles and amphibians.
I still do.
Now, let's actually talk about your career path, because I feel like, you know, every episode you're just so knowledgeable about many things, whether that be animal conservation or energy conservation, like we touched on last week. How did you start out, and how did you know that you wanted to get into this field?
So it's really funny, because when as a kid, I never aspired to be a zookeeper. Zookeeping was not on my radar while I did my studies. In university, I went to the University of Alberta, and I received a Bachelor of Science degree in Conservation Biology and Management. But I really, I loved amphibians at that point, but I didn't realistically think that I was going to be working with amphibians in the field. I just happened to be really good at biology in high school. I had a grade 11 biology teacher who loved science and just shared his love of science with us and really sparked my love for biology. So that's kind of why I went into the career path that I did and chose that degree. But conservation biology at that time was a relatively new science. So I really didn't know what I would be doing with this degree.
So did you just kind of evolve with it, so to say?
Yeah. So from when I graduated, I moved out to BC. Mm-hmm. And I started working in a lot of contract positions. So because a lot of these positions are government funded, you're really limited by the length of your job by the funding that they receive. So a lot of the positions were maybe 6 to 8 month contracts. So I ended up bouncing around between a bunch of different nonprofit organizations. And I did a wide variety of things, trail maintenance, I did habitat restoration. Everything involved a lot of education and developing programs to educate people about, you know, different ways that they can reduce their impact on the environment. But it wasn't until I landed a part-time position at the Vancouver Aquarium.
Oh, I didn't know. Maybe, actually, you did mention that to us last year, I think.
Yeah, I might have, but that really sparked my love for the industry. I knew that this was where I wanted to be. I loved the atmosphere. I loved the people that I worked with. I loved talking about animals. I loved working with animals. But my only challenge with the aquarium was I realized that I'm not a marine mammal person because I don't enjoy being wet.
Not a lot of people do, I guess.
And they really just didn't have enough reptiles and amphibians for me. So I did make the transition over to the Greater Vancouver Zoo. But I did not start as a zookeeper.
Oh.
I started in the education department. So my primary responsibilities were delivering school programming, so educational programming, when school groups came in. But what I spent the majority of my time doing was driving buses.
Everyone has to start somewhere, Manita.
So we did at the time offer a tour through our North American wilds enclosure. So that had black bears, Vancouver Island wolves, Roosevelt elk, and bison. So it was a 15-minute bus tour, and I would load people up and drive through the exhibits and talk about the animals in the exhibits and just really educate people about a North American wildlife. And it was a wonderful time. But I only spent 6 months in the education department when I essentially landed my dream job, which was zookeeper of the vivarium.
Oh, so, very cool.
Yeah, the vivarium basically means aquariums and terrariums modified to house small animals. But guess what those small animals were? Reptiles and amphibians.
This is like perfect. You landed right exactly where you were supposed to land.
Exactly. So I really took strong ownership in, and I worked to improve the lives of the animals that were under my care. It was a strong learning curve for me as well because there were mammals in there that I never had any experience with at all. Other than raising my dog, I had absolutely no experience with mammals. So I was working with a small primates. I was working with chinchillas, sugar gliders, different things like this. And I was like, I really don't know how to handle these animals. So it really was a wonderful time. I was growing immensely in my knowledge of working with a diverse group of species. But because I really threw myself into the position, I did actually rise quite quickly in my career. Within 2 years, I was promoted to senior animal keeper of herpetology. And during that time, I created the Meet a Reptile program, which was an educational program that we would bring animals out for people to interact with. And basically, I was sharing my love of reptiles and amphibians. I was helping dispelling the misconceptions that people have about reptiles and amphibians and hopefully inspiring people to love them as much as I did. And
you, Even right now, Manita, you can just tell how passionate you are about what you do. And it's truly amazing.
Well, thank you. I do love the little critters.
This is a wild conversation with zoologist Manita Prasad from the Greater Vancouver Zoo. And we will be right back with part two.
Experience the wonders of nature at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. Come explore a beautiful open-air park with over 120 acres. Connect with nature and support local conservation efforts. Get closer at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. Visit gvzoo.com.
Now back to a wild conversation. Here's Jess.
We are back with part two of a wild conversation with Manita Prasad, zoologist at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. We're talking all about the Greater Vancouver Zoo and all of the different career paths that you can choose to become a zoologist like Manita. And we've been talking about your career path at the Greater Vancouver Zoo, Manita. How long have you been there?
It's been 17 years.
17 years.
Yeah, I just don't know where the time went. It flew by.
It must be cool to see the Greater Vancouver Zoo evolve over all of these years.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that we always forget to do is I wish I took more pictures of myself. Like, all I have are memories. Like, I have pictures of animals, but I don't have a lot of pictures of myself working with animals. And, you know, like, I feel like now that I'm older, my memory is starting to slip. So I would love to have those to be able to remind me of all the amazing experiences that I've had.
Oh, and there must be so many. You must work with so many great people, and it must really take an entire team to operate the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
It really does. Each role is unique and plays a role to contributing to the mission, vision, and values of the zoo. So without any of these roles, the zoo could not operate.
What are some mission, visions, and values that you guys have there at the zoo?
So our mission is to create a fun and enriching environment for our guests to be inspired and learn about animals and their natural world. And the vision of the zoo is we really want to contribute to local and global conservation while educating and inspiring guests. So really it is to share our love for species conservation and hopefully inspire our guests.
I think you guys do a really great job of that, because I know for a fact that when I've been down to visit the Greater Vancouver Zoo, is I always end up learning something. The last time that I was there, I actually learned from you that there is a ton of animals that you have there that have been rescued, and each of them have kind of their own story.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they definitely do. And I actually was very curious about that a couple of years ago. So I crunched some numbers and made a pie chart just to see where the majority of the animals at the zoo came from. So what I discovered was that 68% of our collection are captive born, and 51% of that were born at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. But we do have 21% of our collection that is comprised of unwanted animals, so animals that have been donated to us or rescued, surrendered, or confiscated. So, unfortunately, the majority of that was reptiles and amphibians.
Like, people just, you know, have them as pets? Because you always hear about a python that's on the loose or something, or spotted in someone's backyard, because 10 to 1, the owner of that python just didn't want it anymore. And so they kind of set it free in hopes that it would, you know, just kind of go away.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people take on animals and don't realize how involved their care is, how long they live, how big they can get. So it's always important to do your research before acquiring any animal. Going back to the unreleasable and rehab, so we do have a lot, and I haven't crunched the numbers recently, but a few years ago it was about 11% of our collection, but I know that's increased by the amount of orphaned animals we have taken in recently.
Now, with many things, there comes challenges within the industry. What are some challenges that you guys face at the Greater Vancouver Zoo?
So I do think that there are a lot of misconceptions surrounding where we get our animals.
Yes.
You know, some people may think that we are going out in the wild and stealing animals to bring them in captivity. But just as I stated, that really isn't the case. The majority of the animals are born in zoological facilities. There has also been a big evolution of zoos over the years. So zoos actually started out as menageries for aristocrats, but really have evolved into scientific institutions with strong contributions to species survival through our conservation efforts. And I'm incredibly proud of the conservation efforts that we do at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. So compared to other facilities in Canada, you know, we're a medium-sized zoo. We're not considered a large zoo, but I'm always constantly being told that for a medium-sized zoo, the amount of conservation initiatives that we do have and the amount of conservation initiatives that we contribute to really is amazing for the size of our facility.
That's why I wish some people would not assume things, because they are going based on things they've seen on TV, you know, or have seen online, but really take the time to get to know what you guys actually do at the Greater Vancouver Zoo, like all of these great things with rehab for the animals, or rescuing, or, you know, when you, what, like a breeding program and that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah. I think people are easily swayed by other people's opinions, but all I can say to you is do your research, do your research on the Greater Vancouver Zoo. Come to the zoo and talk to us, and we'll be happy to educate you on all our wonderful animals and everything that we do for species survival.
So let's talk a little bit about the future of zoos.
Yeah, so we really want to continue our dedication to conservation and species preservation. And we can achieve this by acting as model citizens and wildlife conservationists. So our success truly depends on the ability for us to reach our audiences, establish that connection, that love for animals, that love for nature, and hopefully engage the audience to inspire them enough into action.
I think that's kind of the goal of this wild conversation show that we do on Saturday mornings, is for you to kind of educate people and inspire them to do a little bit more, whether that be help protect the wetlands that we have here, or last week's episode about the manatees, like, you know, just kind of educate people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and us as an organization, we need to continue to grow and improve, continue to stay informed on current research, to adapt to scientific findings, and continue to contribute to science through our research and conservation efforts. So we are always striving to be better, to grow, to improve our programming, to extend our reach to our audience. So by doing shows like Wild Conversation, we're hopefully reaching people across the globe.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because of course you can listen to us online on our website and your guys' social media channels as well. Do you think it's really important? I know obviously it's tough right now because of the pandemic, but really, you know, targeting school-aged kids and doing school programs to start them out, you know, and educate them at a younger age?
Oh, for sure. It is important. Like I think of the children are our future. So definitely a lot of our programming is focused towards children. And because of the pandemic, we have had to adapt a lot of our educational programming. So we really have gone virtual. And actually, I'm actually doing a virtual presentation for a Scouts group in Ontario next week.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, on conservation and endangered species. So we do have a lot of different virtual programs that we are offering to groups, because we realize that traveling is not an option right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are staying in their local communities, so can't come out to visit us at the zoo.
Now, if anybody would like to tune into a virtual program, how can they do that? Like, do you have that set up now?
Yeah, we do. So you can visit our website, and under the education tab, it lists all the different education programs that we do offer. But we do also have a YouTube channel where we put little snips. So we have Cat's Corner, and our zookeepers will do short little snippets just talking about the different animal species at the zoo.
Oh, that's very cool. I might have to find those and then share them on our social media for you.
That would be awesome.
So is there anything else happening at the zoo lately? I know that the weather has been in your favor a little bit.
Yeah, so the weather has turned. So we do go through seasonal changes at the zoo. So from the animal care department, we are taking out all the winter beds, really preparing for summer, providing animals with longer access. So we're open an additional hour during the day, so the animals have more time out in the sun to really enjoy the weather.
Right. Oh, Medita, this has been a great, great wild conversation this week. Thank you for everything that you do, because you are just so knowledgeable and you can really tell how driven and passionate you are about what you do.
Thank you, Jess.
Join us again next week for another wild conversation with the Greater Vancouver Zoo.